Hi, this is Brandon Flickinger. I'm a student at California State Long Beach, University of California. I'm an American Studies major. I'm here with Christopher Flickinger, my father. I'm interviewing him about his life growing up in the Westminster Huntington Beach, Midway City area of California. So, to start with, what year were you born?
I was born April 7th of 1957.
And you were born in?
Oahu, Honolulu.
Oh yeah? Why is that?
Well, my father was stationed there. He was in the Navy, and he was stationed in Hawaii, and basically I'm kind of a Navy brat, I guess you can say.
So did you move around a lot?
Just what I remember, not too much, because from Hawaii, we moved back into the States when I was just turning 5, and we lived in Alhambra with my grandmother for a time. But at some point before that, I think we did, he got stationed in Oxnard, because that was where my younger sister was born. Would have been your aunt Jennifer, and we didn't stay there long in Oxnard. I do remember glimpses of it, but it was on the base. It was, you know, basically just living on the base. And then, of course, from that point, we had moved to Alhambra. My father was scouting out a place to settle down because he was finishing up his term in the military of 20 years, and he was being discharged and wanted to settle down a little bit more, and he chose Orange County, and he found a place in Westminster, so that was when we moved from Alhambra. And at the time it was interesting because the only you didn't have any freeways going out to that area. You know, all you had was the 5 freeway was the first freeway, and in order to get to where we were going, you had to take Highway 39, which is Beach Boulevard, in order to get to Westminster. There was no 405, as we know it. And so we resided there in Westminster from that time. I went to kindergarten and pretty much grew up in that house. So no, I don't remember much moving around. My father, you know, when we were born, it was pretty much in Hawaii.
How old were you when the family moved to Westminster?
I was at 5 years of age. So
okay.
Yeah, I was younger than 5 when we were in Oxnard, obviously, but all that happened probably within only a couple of years. So I was probably around, I don't know, maybe 4 and a half. And then, of course, by the time we got into Westminster, I was old enough to go into kindergarten, so I was 5 years old at that point.
So do you remember what the community looked like?
It was very sparse. I remember it just being mostly residential housing. A lot of tract homes were going up. I know that Midway City was one of the first housing tracts to go up, and they weren't like a housing tract. They were actually individual homes that were built because it was, I guess that's how they did those things before, you know, tract homes became a big thing. And then the developers all showed up and said, well, we got to put tract homes in here. This is, you know, all this land we have. And it was all farmland. I do remember the house actually being built, because my father would go there periodically. We would travel from Alhambra to Westminster to check it out. And it was mostly, you could see the frame, you know, of all the houses in the track. So it was kind of interesting to see that. And then, of course, when the house was completely built, we were able to move into it. And at that time, there was all farmland around it. I mean, I literally could jump our fence. The farm stayed there for the most part of my elementary school days. Even the Hayden Elementary where I went, I walked to school, and there was also huge fence along the field that we played in. On the other side of it was a dairy. There was a lot of cows, and that dairy extended all the way to Bolsa and I guess also to Magnolia, because part of the farm that was behind our house kind of interconnected to that at some point, I think, because I remember there being there was a young Mexican couple that lived in one of the farmhouses they rented from, I guess, who owned the farm, and their children went to our school, and we were really good friends, and she was a den mother for the local troop, in which I joined up in the Cub Scouts, along with her son. And I remember going, you know, I'd go into the field there behind our house and literally walk over to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have our den meetings. And I remember that, you know, the times of watching the cows in the field, you know, during recess when I was in school. It was quite interesting how far you could see, you know, with all the land that there was. And of course, it all diminished with time after probably my elementary school days. It says when it really started. Even when our track, they decided to put in an additional street down at the end of our street, and it extended right into the farm. They must have bought part of the farmland. And eventually, somebody decided that they wanted to build a church, and they bought part of the farmland, and then slowly but surely, piece by piece, the farmland disappeared.
Is there a specific reason your family decided to settle down in California, in that region?
Well, I think because, I really had the opportunity to ask my father, you know, what his motivation was to move to Orange County, and I can only guess because he knew that it was an area that was growing. He knew that that it was cheap because, you know, obviously these homes were just getting started out, kind of like what you might think of Ontario or Corona nowadays, you know, how they didn't have, like, infrastructure in place, and they just threw up some houses, and the houses were relatively cheap. But That probably was the main motivation, because my father, even getting out of the service, although he was a chief petty officer, had a pretty good salary and a pension, and that was probably all he could really afford, because, you know, my mother didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Not until we actually moved to Westminster, and then she had to look for part-time work. And of course, because of her diabetes status, she couldn't work a full-time job, so she was only working part-time.
Did they grow up in California, or are they from somewhere else?
No, my father, he grew up somewhere back east. I think it was Illinois, and we never talked much about my father's past or anything, because he wasn't around much. He was an alcoholic, and of course, it wasn't much fun to be around with when he was home. But my mother, she grew up in City Terrace in Los Angeles. Not positive, but I think it's somewhere around the vicinity of Signal Hill, but I'm not absolutely sure, because that's Long Beach, and she was in Los Angeles, so probably not. But yeah, most of my mother and her side of the family all grew up in Los Angeles. Some of her family moved out to Riverside. One of the larger portions of the family moved out to Riverside. And some of them still live there today. My cousin Laura, which is my mother's sister's daughter, and she was the only girl in the family, and she came from a family. My mother came from a family of six. It's four boys and two girls.
Dang.
But I don't know why because my dad frequented Los Angeles when he was in town, when he was on leave and stuff, because you know, he obviously, that's how he met my mother, is that there was some kind of a party going on that my uncle invited him to. My uncle was in the Army, and, no, he was in the, I think he was in the Air Force. Yeah, I think he was in the Air Force, and he invited him because he happened to know some mutual people that my father knew. And thus, lo and behold, at the party, that's how my mother met my father. And they, I guess my father never really had much, he wasn't fond of L.A., let's put it that way. He wanted to get out in the open areas, and Orange County looked pretty promising at the time. It was obviously very promising for the Vietnamese community because it was very depressed around 1975. That whole row along Bolsa that is now Little Saigon was like my playground, and it changed dramatically when after the fall of Saigon. And they brought them, and the refugees came up from Camp Pendleton to Camp Pendleton. And it was interesting to watch the transformation because I used to ride my bike all in that area, and it was very open. Orange groves, strawberry fields, bean fields. And I would ride my bike for miles, and it was a lot of fun in those days. You can't find that kind of, you know, I mean, you can ride your bike today, but now you're getting to compete with traffic and crowded cities. You know, it's not the same. And of course, ever since Little Saigon went in there, it's gotten more congested. But I don't mind so much that happened there because the culture that they have is very exciting, interesting, and it's been a lot of fun to revisit Bolsa from my, you know, from my childhood. It's not like I go back there and feel remorse over the loss of things that I used to know, because I still have those memories and I see those things. The buildings are still there. They're just not, shall we say, the same exact, the businesses are different. You don't have the same iconic placards and signs that they had. You know, it's all in Vietnamese, and of course, very different. And it's interesting when I talk to some of my Vietnamese friends that live in Little Saigon, and they're surprised to know that some of these buildings were something else. And some of them are very young, and they never saw the transformation. They thought they were always owned by the Vietnamese. Of course, some of their parents give them the stories as when they first came over. Frank Zhao, I think is his name, was the guy who actually had the funding and the backing and had the vision to retransform all of Bolsa as a place for a community for the Vietnamese. Who would have known?
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, I never would have thought, because even when I went to school, the elementary school, it was predominantly white. There was maybe one, maybe two black people. Maybe a good 20 to almost 30%, maybe less. Maybe it might have been less, because it was predominantly white. So I'd say maybe more like maybe 10%, maybe 15% Hispanic. So yeah, the face of Orange County has changed dramatically in that respect as well. That we were more than 50% Hispanic now, whereas before it didn't seem to be as much. Although you did see the migrant workers, it wasn't like it is now, where they're more, shall we say, woven into the fabric of society in Orange County. So, Orange County has changed quite a bit. I don't know where it's going. it's okay for now. I haven't really felt the pangs of escaping it. Like some people, they feel it's grown so fast and they move away. And it is getting more and more expensive to live here.
Did at any point in your life you want to live somewhere else or consider it?
If I were to consider it, it would have to be further north.
Mm-hmm.
And unless, congested, less populated.
Kind of the same reason your dad moved down here.
Could be, yeah. But I mean, the same reason a lot of people do. They want to get away from the congestion. They want a more peaceful, less congested, less loud, hustle and bustle. That's why if you have a lot of money, you can live where the eagle flies and still work in the cities. You know, it's just a matter of, I guess, what you want, preference. Some people like being in a maze or in a box, cubicle of cubicles, and I just don't feel comfortable in that kind of situation. Although things have gotten more and more that way here in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
even down on Beach Boulevard, going towards Warner Avenue. That whole area, part of Huntington Beach, you say, I guess their code, they had a height code for their buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they broke that code a few years back when they built that. I think it's some kind of a business. It's a big, tall glass building right there on the corner of Warner and Beach. And, yeah, when I saw that, I thought, yeah, it's all over now.
So it's only been like something later in your life you've thought about moving, that is?
Yeah.
Not really occurred to you before.
It did occur to me even more when I was in my, my late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Okay.
I was kind of, trying to find myself. I didn't have any kind of skills per se. I dropped out of college. I was trying to play music as a living, and it was paying off a little bit, but not enough to make a solid living. And I thought that, the area, I noticed it growing and felt that at some point, if I could ever afford it, I would want to move out. In fact, it's ironic that I'm the only one of four in our family that actually stayed in California.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest sister, Jennifer, she moved away when she was very young, because she hooked up with somebody that was from New Jersey, and she moved back to New Jersey with him. My twin sister ended up with who she was actually married to, was living here for a while, and then he had family up in Oregon, so she ended up in Oregon. And then, of course, my older brother, he got hooked up back in those days when I was probably, we were both in our mid to late 20s, and he got involved with a religious group of people that were kind of evangelist, and they traveled around a lot, so he got hooked up with them. He ended up in Texas. He ended up in, I forget, there was some other place he was at, and then ultimately ended up in Oregon as well by coincidence. And both of them are still in Oregon. I'm still in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way things pan out. I mean, I tried making a living, like I said, with the music. The music worked out well for all intents and purposes. But then when my younger sister passed away, I decided to pursue an education, went back to school, went into computers, and that's how I ended up getting locked in, because
mm-hmm.
I ended up getting the job at Automatic Data Processing. And when you have gainful employment that isn't going away anytime soon, you get a certain degree of security. And your surroundings, just all of a sudden, sometimes you don't notice it until all of a sudden it's overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I met your mother, and we decided to settle, because she has a lot of family here in this area. I still have some family, some cousins in the Laverne area, and of course in Riverside. But I don't visit them as frequently as I do your mother's side of the family, because she has a much larger family, and they do get together more frequently. I'm not sure if Riverside's grown that much. I've never talked to my cousin much about it, and I don't frequent going back to Riverside often enough to see it. But I'm sure it's grown some.
Mm-hmm. I believe it has.
Yeah. It's still pretty wide open compared to this area.
Yeah.
But it has grown quite a bit, I think. It's inevitable. Southern California as a whole is just a hot spot. The weather's great. What can you say? Everybody
mm-hmm.
wants to live here, and that's why it grew so fast, and it's not going to stop. People want to be here. They want the weather. They like the fact that there's a lot of things to do in short distances. You practically can go skiing and still live in an area that doesn't snow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you can do in Southern California.
What's your experience with that?
I was more of a beach bum. I hung out with my friends and stuff at the beach mostly. I did do a lot of mountain stuff with the scouts. That was my exposure was through scouting,
mm-hmm.
where I climbed San Jacinto and San Gregorio. Of course, I started out with Mount Baden-Powell. You know, typical stuff you do in the scouts. You know, you climb these mountains, you do a lot of hiking. It's a lot of fun. And although I did it a lot in scouts, as I got into my adult life and working with as an operator, and I was pretty much entrenched in that job, so I didn't make a whole lot of money, but it was enough to survive. It was obviously it was enough to raise you and your sister,
mm-hmm.
because your mom, I insisted that when you were born, that she not work anymore. So she didn't. She didn't work for quite some time. I think she didn't start back until you guys were just about ready to get out of elementary school.
How would you describe your socioeconomic background from growing up to middle adulthood and onward? Does it feel like you're
in kind of upward mobility?
Yeah, exactly.
To a degree, yes, I can say that I have, only because I've been really good with money. I've never been upper middle class. I've always been, if anything, teetering on from just below middle class to middle class. And because I'm really good with money, I'm able to push myself up into that area at times. I'm extremely frugal, and I'm also very minimalistic in the sense that I'm more of a homebody. I'm not into doing a lot of traveling and a lot of social activity within the county. Although recently I got involved with the Vietnamese community, I started getting involved with a group that do a lot of social activities, which has been fun. But as a rule, I try not to overextend myself because I'm trying to save up for retirement. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I had moved up some, and most of it is self made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did a lot of Joe jobs before I worked at ADP. A lot of no skill type Joe jobs and minimum wage type stuff for many years. And I always played music on the side to supplement it. But I have no regrets because I still, got around. I always bought junk cars to get me around.
And mm-hmm.
my friends helped out a lot, too. So.
How old were you when you get your license?
Oh, I was, I think, 16, 17, something like that. Because yeah. At that time, you could get your license through school. So,
oh, yeah.
So I took the courses when I was in high school, and then once you finish the courses, you would just go to the DMV and take the test.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of having the money to buy a junk car to do it. If you didn't have the car, a lot of students would use their parents' car. I had a lot of friends that their parents would just give them the old jalopy, and then they'd go out and buy another car.
Yeah.
And, that's pretty common. I didn't have that luxury, of course, because my mother and father had divorced when I was 12 years old, so our income dropped dramatically when that occurred, because now my mother had to work her part-time job and try to support us four kids. So things were pretty tight at that time, and I learned how to be good with money because of it. I wouldn't take much pride in that because I'm not materialistic in that sense. I don't really believe in, you know, the high life. I think it's excess. I don't think it's necessary to have a good time. A lot of people think, oh, we got to go out and see, you know, see the, all these movies, go to the museums, do this and do that. You know, I need to buy a boat so I can go over to Huntington Harbor and, you know, play around with it. Yeah, that's all great and fun and everything, and it's great for people who like to do it, but that's not my thing.
Do you feel like the culture around you shaped that perspective?
Don't know. I mean, that's a hard thing to really answer because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because we have such the nice weather of Southern California, then you can do so much outdoors. It's going to attract those kind of people, I think. I was born in another, obviously in Hawaii, in another state, but, when coming here at the age of 5 and living here most of my life, I don't think I was kind of like an outsider looking in. Whereas a lot of the people that have migrated here are people that have been grown up in other states and heard about Southern California by some from somebody who's already been here or a family member that moved here and, initially, and they would come to follow. And a lot of times those people that came here afterwards were ones that actually saw the potential and what was happening, and so they came for those reasons. I doubt that there's too many people other than your immigrants that, you know, that came here to be poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think the immigrants were mostly the ones that I kind of relate to in that respect because of our, the four, you know, brothers and sister, brother and sisters that, growing up in that, almost that same, I mean, we lived right down the street from what they call the barrio. Because,
oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, because growing up as a kid, I remember that, you know, my little sister got involved with some of the Mexican gangs down the street. And, you know, it almost reminds me a lot of what my mother used to tell me, her growing up in City Terrace, L.A., because she said it was predominantly Mexican. And it was between the Mexicans and the Italians that, you know, yeah, they were all very poor. And they basically hung out together.
Was there a large Italian community?
I'm not sure that there was. I just know that, my mom's family was pretty big, so I guess you can't really use them as an example, but you know, I suppose there may have been some. I see pictures of my grandfather and my grandmother, and although I see them talking to family, they also have pictures of talking with local friends and stuff, and they're Italian.
Okay, so.
So I think there may have been, may not have been very big, not as big as the Mexican community, but nonetheless, it was there. And like I said, it kind of made me think about those things when I was growing up, almost similar in a way, because the area was in Orange County, or that area of Westminster, was very economically depressed. And even just before Frank Zhao came in you know, the fall of Saigon, he saw that too. Properties, people were leaving because of the economic depressedness of Westminster. People were leaving. And Frank Zhao saw this and saw an opportunity. He said, oh man, look at all this beautiful land. And yeah, open land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheap.
Do you know why it was so depressed?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I really don't. It's all farmland. It's hard to say. I don't know if maybe there was a lot of businessmen that saw this as an opportunity and squeezed out the farmers. It's ultimately what really happened.
Right.
But
what were the farmers growing mostly?
Green beans, strawberries.
Oh, okay.
There were orange groves in the area. The field behind our house was predominantly bean fields. Oh, corn. There was corn. pretty much all I remember that they were growing at the time. A lot of strawberry fields and orange groves.
What point in your life do you think you can say it was just completely gone? Because I, living now, I don't remember any of that.
Of course you wouldn't, because, yeah, and even if I took you through Westminster and said, yeah, this used to be a field of beans, or this used to be a huge,
mm-hmm.
you know, you probably couldn't imagine it. They do have some photos in archives somewhere of Orange County, and I know because one of our Vietnamese members of the group, they pulled up some old shots along Bolsa, and it's incredible. It's just amazing. They're in black and white, but it's still crazy. It's all dirt fields.
Right.
Nothing there. And I don't know. It's interesting to see how things have changed. And I always complained about the population here, that it's too many people and too fast. But, you know, it is what it is. It's bigger than you. See, you can't change it. You either stick, as they say, to the Romans or get the F out, you know? So.
So do you think you could say you identify as a Californian then?
I'm only a Californian because I've lived here. I don't know that I'm a typical Californian.
Mm-hmm.
You almost have to do some kind of a study with regards to people's interests in the city and what they do with their spare time, and to try to compile what constitutes a Californian. I don't know. I think we're all people living in California or Californians. I don't know that there's any stereotypical Californian. But I only identify as a Californian because I live here. My brother and sister in Oregon probably would say that they were at one time Californians. They see themselves now as Oregonians. It's all a matter of where you live, I think.
Are there any closing statements you wanted to make about your life growing up here in California?
Hopefully I'll have the wherewithal at some point to say goodbye to it all, to, you know, move out of the area, or find something maybe in Northern California, something nicer. I hope I have the wherewithal to do that. If not, I'm probably will just succumb to staying here the rest of my life.
So would you prefer to actually stay in the state? Or is
it's tough. I mean, I'd have to do some research in around areas that I think are nice. I mean, I see things like, I know New Mexico's nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's parts of New Mexico that are nice, really beautiful. I like Oregon, but Oregon, it just rains so much. I'm so spoiled living here longer than my brother and sister, and they don't seem to care. They haven't slumped into depression. So I suppose it's doable. I just don't know if I want to do that for the latter part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather be in a semi-desert community. High desert would be good.
Mm.
Because there's some areas of Arizona, Flagstaff, that are kind of nice because the weather's not, you still get the green trees and stuff that
hide
those areas. Very similar to Northern California. That's really, you know.
It's kind of down to climate mostly and population density.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think everybody seeks that when they want to retire.
Right.
So, yeah. They say the American dream. I guess the American dream when you're younger is to be in amongst the hustle and bustle and have entertainment close by, and gainful employment. As you get older and you prepared for retirement, your values, I think, change a bit, and you want to relax and be in more of a solitude or tranquil environment. You want not so much less interaction with people. You still want that, but you don't want that in such huge quantities.
What about the people, though? Is that a push-pull factor for you potentially leaving the area or leaving the state?
That's probably going to be the hardest thing to leave, because because I do have lots of, I've made lots of connections here in Orange County or in Southern California, Orange County predominantly. And I do know some people live in LA, but that will be the hardest part of leaving, because I'll still have to keep those connections through social media as opposed to actually being able to go by and visit more readily or have the ability to do so. So yeah, that, and that might be a deciding factor in the end. I might say, hey, you know, I just need my friends more than I need my solitude. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, thank you for spending this time doing this interview with me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.